This morning's reading is in two parts, a few verses at the beginning of Matthew 18, and then a couple from the middle of 19. They will be up on the screen, hopefully. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there.
As we've said, we meet today to celebrate the life of Imogen, who is still with us. I thought you'd be in there. Nice to see you. We thank God for her. And we've dedicated ourselves to caring for her and supporting Chris and Becky. But in doing this, we've also been reminded not only of the excitement and the exhaustion of new life, but also about the kind of God who we meet before this morning. Because by the very fact that we bring Imogen here and that we thank God for her and that we offer her life to him, we're aware that we come before a God who loves us and who especially loves children. Not simply a God who tolerates children or puts up with them because they're here, you know, one who's okay as long as they're quiet and don't cause any problems, or loves the idea of children but doesn't want to get too close, or welcomes them if he's not too busy with other very important things, but a God who actually loves them completely, to the point that they are allowed to disrupt and disturb the things that he is doing. He deliberately makes time for them. And we see this in the passage that we've just heard read to us from the Bible, when Jesus welcomes little children to come to him, not simply by stopping and waving at them or tolerating their presence around his feet as he walks by, but actually stopping and changing his focus, stopping what he is doing and looking at them and paying attention. And also telling his followers to change their attitude about the children that have come to him. And bending down and welcoming these precious human beings. He calls to them and he says to everyone, "Let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Or if you like, he says, "Let the little children come to me, because this is what God is really all about." He disrupts his schedule for the children and shows that God makes room for these people. Today, we would probably see this as a nice gesture. We'd all get our cameras out and we'd get a little Kodak moment and we'd go, "Oh, Jesus, with the children, quickly, let's take a picture." However, in first century Jewish world, at the time when Jesus stopped and bent down and welcomed these children, this act would not have been a nice Kodak moment. It would have been quite shocking. Because you see, in first century Jewish world, in the culture of the day, children were seen quite differently to how we see them. In fact, until the age of puberty, when they could be taught and learn how to be real human beings, they were seen as inferior, half humans, if you like. Sometimes little girls were thrown out because they were not wanted, or they were sold into prostitution if that was the option for them. And the language that was used to refer to children in the Greek was very impersonal, simply as it, not him or her, but it. Showing that there was a complete lack of recognition for this person as a human being in their own right. Because, to be quite honest, children were nothing until they reached an age when they could become an adult. So when Jesus, when God stops what he is doing, and what he is doing is teaching people about the ways of God, when he stops and he reaches down to these people who are classed as half-humans, those who were messy probably and grubby and seen as insignificant, and he treats them as special, pushing aside the views of all the other adults and the culture of the day and laying his hands on them, it's not just a nice moment, it's a life-changing lesson which says that not only are children important, but that God, the one the Jews of the time worshipped, cares about them more than anything else at that moment in time. That God at that time wasn't bothered what anyone else thought. He was simply concerned about how these wonderful children felt, and he wanted to show them that he loved them. Do you know, it reminds me of a story that I read once about a father who had a son called Brandon. And his father was sitting eating a chocolate cookie one night, and Brandon saw his father eating the cookie and he thought, I know, my dad likes milk with his cookies. Now, Brandon was only two, but he thought, I'm going to get some milk because that's what my dad really wants when he's eating a cookie. So he went into the kitchen, but of course he couldn't reach into the cupboards, so he dragged a chair across, knocking over various items, pots and pans all over the floor, stood on the chair, reached into the cupboard, flung it open, bashing things out, plates fell out of the cupboard. At this point, his dad had realised something was going on, wandered into the kitchen and stood there. First thought was to stop Brandon from doing this. The second thought was to just watch and see what happened. And he observed his son, realising the milk wasn't in the cupboard, getting down off the stool, going over to the fridge, flinging the fridge door open, which stayed open, grabbing the biggest bit of milk he could, dropping food all over the floor, getting a glass on the floor, taking the top off and pouring the milk in the vicinity of the glass. Some went in the glass. And then picking up this glass very carefully, turning away from the bombshell that he'd left on the floor and walking into the room where his dad had pretended not to notice was sitting on the sofa, and Brandon walked up, tripped and spilt the remaining milk all over his dad and the sofa. At which point Brandon suddenly realised what a mess he'd made and looked in fear at his dad. But his dad realised that his son had wanted to do the best, so he just looked down at him and he said, thank you very much, you are so wonderful for getting me my milk. And this story was used as a wonderful image of the God who cares for us, who loves us no matter what. And you know, it's one thing to know that God is like this and to hear people say God cares for us, to know that he loves children whether they arrive dirty or messy, whether they're unable to get a glass of milk, whether they pick their noses and eat it. Why is that? I never taught my son to do that, but he does. Whether they dribble, whether they cry, whether they scream, he loves them whether they're running around, whether they're doing the most inappropriate things at the moments that we don't want them to. It's one thing then to know that God is like that, especially if our own fathers didn't exhibit this quality. But it's quite another to then accept that God goes on to say that if we desire to enter his way of living, we need to become like little children ourselves. Now, this is quite a leap from God loving children to him saying we need to become like them. And yet in the second passage that was read, well, the first passage that was read to us, this is exactly what Jesus says, which I don't know about you, but makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because when I was a child, I was what people in those days called a tomboy, which the dictionary describes as a girl who wears boys' clothing and has boys' characteristics. It's not very flattering, is it? But that's what I was described as. And I was into things like Tarzan and Jane. Not Jane, I was Tarzan. So I'd swing through trees and climb up onto branches. I enjoyed the Dukes of Hazzard. So I used to open my dad's car windows and slide across the bonnet through the window into the car. I was quite into Charlie's Angels. That was more of a girly thing. So I'd do my poses. Thank you, I've still got it. I like things like He-Man, Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Godzilla and Godzuki. All those things. I did have a Cindy car, but I used to use it as a bit of a go-kart. Cindy never got a look in. Also, when I was little, I disliked school very much, hated going. I used to cry and not want to leave the house. I didn't like Sunday school. I was painfully shy. I was easily embarrassed. And I didn't know what to do with myself half the time. Being a child for me was not always great. And it was also a time of 1970s television shows, computer games that took well over 5 minutes to load if they didn't stop in the middle, and later on 80s fashion, which, you know, making a comeback, but I'm not so into it. All in all, not really a time of life that I feel I want to revisit, let alone return to permanently. And so here in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, when in answer to a question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, or if you like, who will be the ones that hit the headlines in God's way of living, Jesus brings a child before everyone and says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, and I don't know how the disciples felt at the time, but I immediately start to feel uneasy. I mean, I'm a bit too old to be sliding in and out of car windows before I get the car started. I'm a bit too pregnant now to be swinging from trees. I don't think it would be advised. And I'm a bit too big to be riding around on my Cindy car in the house. Believe me, I've tried it on my son's scooter. It's very painful getting down that far. The very thought of returning to childhood, becoming like a child, fills me with dread, really. And I'm sure many of us would feel the same. Yet these are the words of God if we are to enter his way of life. However, if we think again about children of first century Jewish world, and especially of their total unimportance in life, we can see that actually Jesus isn't asking us to become children again, to go back to the things that we enjoyed or disliked in our childhood. Instead, he's saying that greatness in the kingdom of heaven, greatness in God's way of living, is surprising. And more than that, it's completely opposite to how we see greatness today, and how the disciples saw greatness in the time of Jesus. Because it's not about becoming like a great hero of the faith, who the disciples thought it was all about. And it's not about what we might say were great characteristics of greatness today. It's not about status or money or respect or authority or power or stability or good health or extremely great knowledge. It's not about those things that we always think spring to mind when we think about greatness, what we've been taught greatness is all about. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And to understand it, Jesus is saying we need to turn our worldview upside down and begin to look at how we see life again. Do you know, my son James has two things which he's really into, which I was told if I had a boy, this is what would happen. He's got about 6 or 7 torches, because all boys need lots of torches, apparently. And he's got 3 or 4 pairs of binoculars, either, you know, with Thomas the Tank Engine pictures in, or just children's binoculars. And every time he gets his binoculars out, he immediately looks through the wrong end, through the big end. Even though I explain time and time again no, you know, this is the end you look through because then it makes everything bigger. But he always walks around looking through the big end. So that all those things that should be big become small and miles away. So we all end up with James standing right in front of our face going, hello, darling. He's like, hello. I'm like, I'm right here, but I look miles away because he's got the binoculars the wrong way round. And here when Jesus brings a little child as a symbol of greatness to God and calls us to become like little children, he is in fact saying that greatness, true greatness that doesn't diminish or rely on our latest achievement, is like turning the binoculars the wrong way round and looking at life again. So that those values that have always been thrown in our faces as the things we need to be great now become distant, and we can finally see what is of importance, which is, as a small child, to become humble, to be trusting, to keep growing, to never think that we have stopped learning. As was said during Imogen's dedication, to come to God with empty hands and open hearts, like a child, and to live believing, actually, we don't know everything, and we can't possibly sustain ourselves on our own. Or if you like, to be great in the kingdom of heaven is about becoming what is seen as weak, vulnerable and unimpressive, maybe almost half human in the eyes of the world around us. Because finally we're desiring those things which are extremely undesirable in the worldview we have grown up in. And when we do this, not only will we be welcomed by God with all our grubbiness and messiness and inappropriateness that we have at times, not only will he stop what he is doing and put his arms around us, if you like, and welcome us unreservedly, but we will also find that our lives are transformed. And that all the things we have been seeking by striving to be great in the eyes of those around, we will find in God himself. We will find the security and the unreserved love and the acceptance we want, no matter what we do. And then we'll be able to welcome others as God does too.